never filtered, always fun.
You know what you were waiting to hear was? You know what? I hadn't thought of it that way. But I think you're onto something.
Great question.
It's a great, great point.
No, not at all. Not really.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
I got to tell you about a comment that was made to me that I felt was so offside this morning.
Really?
Yes.
Was it at the gym?
No, it was on my way to the gym, Jamie.
Were you dressed appropriately? What do you got for us?
I was in gym gear, sweatshorts, like sweatpants, a sweatshirt. And on my way out, a lady wrapped her car around a pole in the parking garage. She took it too tight and just destroyed the side of her BMW truck.
Right in front of you?
Well, I turned the corner and there was these two guys and I get out and I'm like, is everything okay here? She's like, can you help these other two guys pick up my truck and move the back end so it can get away from the pole? I'm so like,
no,
miss.
Guy. Yeah, no,
that's
guy.
Not happening. But, and then I'm thinking, do I get in this lady's car and try to, because she took a hard right. So all you have to do is back it back out the same way and you'll get away from the,
yeah,
from the pole. So I get in the car, I'm thinking, what if I do more damage to this Beamer, and then I'm in trouble. So I just, it took me 12 seconds. I just put it in reverse, backed it out nicely, and she's like, oh my God, you got it out of there. I'm like, yeah, it wasn't that hard.
That's what people who know how to drive do. That's what you should have said. Because so I feel like that's my wife driving. I feel like that's Steph. Was it Steph?
No, it wasn't Steph. So I say to the lady, just make sure when you fix this, my girlfriend did this 3 months ago, get a couple opinions on a price. She goes, thanks. Now you can go eat. I go, I'm in my, like I'm going to the gym. She goes, now you can go eat. I'm thinking, what an ignorant comment. What do you think, I'm going to eat?
Well, maybe she thought that you had a growl on or something.
That's a really
good
comment.
But how do you assume that I have a growl on?
That's fat shaming. That's fat shaming.
She fat shamed me.
You got fat shamed this morning.
You can go eat now, sir.
That's such an ignorant comment. Like, was she joking? She must have been goofing around.
Dude, she was as serious as a heart attack.
Were you drooling while you were in the car? Like, what were you doing?
Did she have, like, something in there that you took a bite of? Like, say she's got some groceries or something there, and you're back in her car out, and you take a bite of her muffin. That would probably be the best way. That's repaying you. Because she sees you,
I just
one hand
believe
on the
it,
wheel.
Jamie,
back
well, I helped this lady out, and she goes, "You can go eat now."
That's ignorant.
That's fat shaming.
Yeah,
right?
That is.
Well,
I think that's inappropriate and uncalled for.
Well, then I have to apologize too because I just shamed my wife for poor driving. But
you
it's
did.
True. You have to. I'm a realist. I've been the one who got the crying phone call when she drove into a cab right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. I was there. I witnessed it. Yeah, I was the shoulder that she was crying on
exactly.
When she was calling you.
But that's the thing. So is it being down on somebody or is it more just calling it out? Like, hey, it's not my fault.
Well,
like,
here, let's follow through with the interview here because you're the subject. Did you go and eat afterwards?
I just told you, you jackass.
I know.
I was going to the gym.
Okay, so you went in the gym.
I had to text my trainer and say, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. I had to help somebody on the road.
So you're a good Samaritan, that's what you're saying.
You were a good Samaritan.
And for the reward I got for that was you can go have a feed now.
Mm-hmm.
Where I had no intent.
That's uncalled for.
Did you take your like tarp off or something? The, like for your Costanza, you took your tarp off to get into the car?
I'm telling you, all I did, I got out of my truck and I just said, you don't need to lift up the back end. We're not like power lifters here. All you need to do is just gently back it away from the pole.
Okay, whose genius idea was to lift the vehicle away from?
Hers, because she was so intimidated by this pole.
Well, they can be intimidating when you drive into them.
No kidding, but all you had to do was back out, and that's the thanks I got.
Well, bad driver. Regardless of who was behind the wheel, whoever hits the pole and navigates it, it's a struggle.
Well, and kids, if you're listening, the lesson is don't ever help anybody. That's the lesson. Don't help people.
Don't be a good Samaritan because you will be shamed.
Yeah. If that's the way you're going to get treated, don't ever help anybody. You could have rolled right into the gym, started working out. You didn't need to help her out.
I couldn't live with myself, though, if I just drove by and I didn't even stop to say, are you okay?
The problem is
like, I don't know what the hell was going
on there. Good Samaritans, sometimes they're the ones who get in trouble. Just wanted to stop and help at a crime scene. Stop and help somebody, and then they're the ones who...
Mm-hmm. Hitchhikers, man. That's terrifying. That's always terrified me.
I used to pick hitchhikers up.
So. Why? Why would you do that?
Me too, all the time.
Because no, you didn't.
I did.
You guys are blatantly lying.
I'm not.
So all of a sudden, you guys are truckers from the 60s picking up hippies on the way to Woodstock.
Listen, buddy, if I got a sense that they weren't axe murderers...
How could you pick up on a sense? Tell me how you could pick up on a sense.
Let me explain how, because that sounds bad.
Want to know the answer? For me?
Female.
80%.
80% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
So you're looking for some sort of...
I got you.
Dear Pantos, this is...
No, I was driving down the 401.
I grew up in Alberta, okay? I used to drive from Lethbridge to Edmonton every weekend. Like... Because I was dating a girl in Lethbridge, and in the summers I go back. So it's about a five-hour drive. On the back roads between Lethbridge and Calgary, we're talking just, it's highway. So there was always a lot of times young kids from Lethbridge who would either hitch to out of town to get into Lethbridge or Lethbridge to Calgary. So once in a while, I would stop and give a ride as close as I could to Calgary as I headed on to Edmonton.
But you're still not explaining why. Like,
just to help.
Why would you do that? Why would you ever like? I will never pick up a hitchhiker,
Brian. I haven't
ever
done
in
it
a million years.
I haven't done it in 20 years.
Yeah.
I think the
wouldn't
landscape of the world. Actually, I'm lying. Probably 25.
Back when things were safe.
The landscape of the world has changed. Would I ever pick one up?
Never, ever, ever.
I
don't think I'd pick up a friend if I drove by him and he had his thumb up.
I can honestly say I've probably stopped five or six times. Easily.
Well, hey, listen, you're still here, so the survival rate
but
for
I'm
you
not
is
100%. But I'm not stopping with a guy like who looks like he's
so what?
Got
you're
an
saying
axe
these guys were out there in 3-piece suits with their thumbs up? Every hitchhiker I've ever driven past, I'm like, something ain't right there.
I also did a bunch of my oldest brother, God bless his soul. It's a D-bag move, but you pull over on the side of the highway.
And then drive away.
And then you think about it for a second?
No, then you see their excitement, and they're running up to the truck, and then you just squeal off and leave them in dust, and they're just so mad.
That's a gutless move.
That is so gutless.
See, I don't do that. I don't honk at them or anything. I just drive by, and I wish them luck. Like, by all means, get to where you're going. If I saw someone out there like bleeding profusely, then I would stop and help.
That's when I wouldn't be like, why are you? That's where you get in trouble.
You wouldn't stop if you saw someone bleeding profusely.
Obviously,
that's a scenario where I'd be like, okay, I'm in. But
my point being is, I think the landscape of the world has changed, and you drive by and it's like a guy and a girl, and they're 17 years old, and you just know that they're down on their luck and they're. Don't have any money, and they want to get on to the next city.
Listen,
you're just
trying
to help out.
I
wasn't pulling over a guy who looked physically intimidating, who was going to pull out an axe from a bag or something.
Some guy's got a severed head in his bag.
Exactly. Like I felt like I was a good judge of character. Luckily, that I was all right.
I'm just saying, I think it's difficult to judge character when you're going 120 down the highway, and then you pull over quickly.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Anyway, maybe I'm in the wrong here. Feel free to send us all your messages of all the great hitchhiking experiences you've had over the years.
Well, yeah.
Stories about hitchhiking, picking someone up, let's hear about it.
Send it in. At Hayes TSN, text us 105050 on email live at tsn1050.ca. There were so many crazy NBA stories from last night, and we're going to get to them. And Cleveland's in action tonight, and they're right in the middle of all this. And we've got to get to LeBron James' ridiculous Instagram post from earlier today. I've never seen anything like it, but the Leafs coming off a 4-2 loss last night, and it was a pretty entertaining game.
Colorado's a
pretty good
fast-paced
game. You know what you notice? What is the one characteristic that gets used for all three surprise teams this year? Colorado, Vegas, New
Quick
Jersey.
Quick on the puck.
It's always the same thing.
Yeah.
Colorado, Vegas, Jersey. They all skate. They're all dogs on a bone.
Yeah.
They don't stop getting after it. And it's the exact same cliche.
Relentless.
It's relentless, but it's the truth. You know, they won a lot of 50-50 battles last night, and they skate.
Yeah,
like, that's what they do.
You know what's starting to piss me off? And I think I know the one thing that coaches around the National Hockey League love about analytics. You know what they love? I heard it so many times last night after games and, you know, throughout going through the clippings in the morning, whether it's on Twitter or the articles. Coaches love to say this, and it's something that when Jamie and I played, it was never, ever around. We should have won. We had 90 attempts on net. We should have won that game. We could have won that game. Easily could have won that game. What the hell are you talking about? Babb said it last night. Dougie Waite said it last night. You hear it all the time. Well, we had the chances we had. We should have won. What?
You lost.
You lost.
You didn't.
But I think they love that element of it where it's like, hey, don't question me. We should have won that game. We could have easily won that game.
Well, what you rarely hear, if ever, is when they're on the flip side of it, we should have lost. You never hear a coach say that. You know, I'm looking at it.
Then they go right to their goaltender. That goalie was strong tonight.
That's what they say. They say the goalie kept us in it. We didn't have our legs, but the goalie, you know, and that's a good 2 points, and we're going to take the win and move on. They don't sit there and say.
I cannot believe how much I've heard that this year.
Yeah.
The opportunities, the attempts. We had 90 attempts on net, that, you know, whatever, how many get there or whatever. But when you do that, you should win. It's like, okay.
I would actually welcome somebody who said, yeah, we didn't deserve to win that game. Goalie stole it. I've heard that once in a while.
But it's always with the caveat, goalie stole it. Right. What I'm saying is they don't come out and say, man, the other team had 90 shot attempts. We had 34. Our Corsi was brutal. We shouldn't have won. They never say that.
Yeah.
Like when they lose, you're right. It's, hey, look at the shot attempts. Look at the grade A chances that we had or whatever.
Should have won. Could have won.
And there's some validity to it at times. Like the Leafs had some good chances last night. A
couple good chances.
Johnny Burns was... I didn't think either goalie had to make great stops.
No, I thought it was one of those games where there was a lot of empty calorie plays, if you call it. Like, things that looked real good, but then it ended up not a shot on goal. Or a drive to the net, there were, a guy bumbles it away at the last second.
Well, Mitch Marner was the king of it last night. Like, he's dancing around, and he's toe-dragging, and nothing ever gets on net.
Right, but it looks good.
It looks outstanding.
That's the definition of empty calorie skill. It's like, what are you up to there?
Marner last night was empty calorie skill. Well, looked great. Looked fascinating
to watch. But
you got to
finish it off, or you got to make a play that finishes it off. Mm-hmm. You're right, but it... Any level of concern, like this, the team, you know, is starting to, sputter into to get to the break and reset a little bit? Because this isn't the same team that was dominating earlier. Now the league's tightened up. That's the truth. But there were a couple chances. Yeah, the disallowed goal. Matthew scores right after it, so there's some justice. But like, you know, it's. I think it's the Matthews line is fine, but like it's farther down in your lineup. That's where you see a lot of missing guys. Like it's guys at the start of the year. Like, I mean, Kadri. And now it's a point where this guy is not getting anything and not even generating chances. Like, I watched him early in the season. He looked fast on pucks. He looks confident with the puck, and he was creating and driving. Right now, I have to wonder, and I just am throwing it out there. Is he nicked up a little bit? Because he doesn't look as fast on pucks, doesn't look as dominant on pucks as he was at the start of the season where, you know, a 50-50 battle off the wall, no matter how big Naz is, he always seemed to come out with it. Now it's not, you know, it's not there.
Like, yeah, I'm not really sure how to approach it.
I'm not laying anything at his feet. I'm just saying that there was secondary scoring and there was waves of chances in that from the Leafs.
It's not there. No, this team has become top heavy.
They're stale and there's nothing.
That's maybe the word, a stale.
It is. The Matthews line brings it almost every night.
It's the dog days of the season, too, so I think they can get through to this break and then head down to the stretch, but the break's not going to be a cakewalk. Like, Chicago, regardless of what you think of them, and then back to Dallas.
You got to take Chicago, though. Like, it's not a guaranteed win, but they are wounded.
Oh yeah,
they
Jeff
lost
Glass
again.
Is playing in that.
They're a wounded team, and they beat you up for a decade. It's time to start turning that around and roll into Chicago and shut the crowd up and win. Dallas, though, you know, they're running pretty hot. They're a good team. It's not going to be easy the next two nights, and Riley won't be back, and Zaitsev's still out, and McElhinney's going to get one of those games. You would assume. And
that's, I think, we can also look at that too. You take a team's number one defenseman out of the lineup.
Look at Tampa and Hedman.
Yeah,
they won last night. But
you're asking, you know, other players to absorb some of those minutes, and there will be a shift or two where they get exposed. And it's not the whole game, but there's a shift or two where there's a mismatch or they get a little bit tired because they're not used to that type of minutes. And the exposure's there, and either it's a chance against or a goal against or something. And
well, there's been so much focus on the lines and Babcock's lack of juggling and his stubbornness. And
can I just mention one other thing? Like, ice time per game, I thought Austin Matthews, you can tell when he's geared up and he's flying out there. I thought last night was one of those nights. Then you go to his ice time, it's 18 minutes. That might seem like a lot for a forward. But you look at other forwards around the league, like top-end guys, it's around 21 to 23 some nights. I don't see why last night. You look at Tyler Bozak. His ice time was 17, 1 minute left. Did you even notice
that? No, he has had such a down year. Like, he has had.
Why does he have. Why are they kind of similar?
That's the guy. For me, Bozak's the most obvious one. Kadri, we're so focused on because of the drought. Bozak's been in a drought all year.
Yeah.
Like, he has been in a drought all year. And the truth is, if Jason Spezza can be a healthy scratch, maybe Tyler Bozak should be a healthy scratch. I think the concern would be nothing would change. There's no message to be sent. He's just lost a step. You know, he was never a superstar player,
right?
But he was always capable of getting there or creating from time to time. He's a step behind all the time.
It happened. You see it all the time with guys in the league. You just show up, and it's like you are missing some mojo.
Guys have down years. That's the truth.
Whatever it is, he's not playing the way that he's capable of playing.
And it's been like that for the most part of the year.
All year he's been disappointing.
He had a stretch of, I think, 5 to 7 games where he kind of got it together and he was producing points, and then it just fell right back off.
Well, again, they juggled the lines today. We'll see what it means tomorrow and on Thursday. But
and congrats to all the media members who claim that or think that they had something to do with this.
I wish your head
directly out of your asses.
But I wish that someone was actually bold enough to pose that to Babcock today, like after skate. What made you finally buy into what I've been asking you for a month and a half?
Was it that question I asked you last week when I was really annoyed? Well, maybe it was.
That would have been so great.
That is really funny.
This quote that he handed out today, though, does not make a lot of sense to me.
He's going to go back to?
Yeah, specifically separating Komarov and Kadri. And he said once they come home, he's going to put them back together. So what happens if they win 6-0, 7-2? Why would you return to that? Why would you put yourself in the position? But this is what he said about that thinking. Quote, I'm looking to have more balance and more attack, especially on the road when I don't have last change. So more balance and more attack on the road.
You don't want an attack at home?
You don't want balance and attack at home? Yeah. Like, that logic makes no sense.
The way I look at last night is just load up a couple lines and just try to hold off the MacKinnon line, and then you could dummy that team. I don't know. He's the smartest man in hockey, so he's going to do what he's got to do. I got to tell you one thing about that goaltender interference call. That was a complete joke.
I called it right away. I saw it. I was like, he touched his blocker. I called it right
Jonathan
away.
Bernier put his blocker and his stick in between Austin Matthews' nuts. All right? And then they always say this when they're doing the rule. The goaltender's got to be allowed to get in position to make the save. Jonathan Bernier was looking in the third row or on the ground and didn't even make he didn't even know where the puck was.
He was in Nelson Mandela mode. He had no idea where the puck was.
Was the Nelly Mandela video flying on social media last night?
Oh, people were enjoying that take.
I think we have to play it for people that don't know, like how goofy it actually sounded.
All right, Mulls, go back and find the Johnny Burns Nelson Mandela line from a couple of years
Nelson
ago.
Being asked Nelson Mandela.
He was at a Nelson Mandela charity event.
Yeah, the Giants of Africa.
Yes, and probably an appropriate question. You're here to look back on the life and times of Nelson Mandela.
You should have known. I mean, it's unfortunate because that's what you remember.
It stings, yeah. Listen, it was a down moment. He was reaching for something that wasn't there. It's not the end of the world. Yeah. I'd like to believe he can laugh about it now.
Well, I hope.
I was laughing about it at the time, and I continue to laugh about it today.
It's unfortunate.
It's an unfortunate set of circumstances. all right, so we'll get to the Johnny Burns audio. We'll keep looking back on the game last night. We're teeing up Leafs in Chicago tomorrow, in Dallas on Thursday. Howard Beck, NBA analyst and writer, will join us about all the craziness that came out of the NBA yesterday that is carried over to today. And if you have not heard or read LeBron James' Instagram post from today, you're not going to believe this.
I don't know what it is, Brian. I can't find it. All I see is pictures.
I'll read it for you. We'll break it down next.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes Noodles and the O-Dog.
Some guy claims he met his wife by picking her up as a hitchhiker.
No. Wow. No. No. Let me talk to the wife.
I don't believe it.
I think
it.
You're half but in is, the bag right
but
now
is the
you're
wife,
making that up.
Is the wife... I mean, she's hitchhiking by herself. That's a little gritty.
Very gritty.
We want to speak to him on the blowing smoke hotline. Ask him if he can type in his phone number. We'll get in touch with him.
All right. Send us a Thursday. Text back and
call on Thursday.
No.
Noodles won't be here on Thursday, so phone lines
will
be open.
And by the way, Friday is a big day. It is Revenge of the Nerds Day on TSN 1050. Masters will be in studio along with Jonas Siegel.
I want to hear the sound of you saying, "Bad news, Masters. Yeah, I sank your battle." What was it? What did you say? It was that is the line of the year. And I'll be sad that I won't be here for it, but I'm going to tune in, and I can't wait.
We're going to do that at 6 p.m. with a special guest referee.
You guys have to wear like pocket protectors.
Oh, we're going to look like
between
nerds.
Your glasses, and because that movie was actually outstanding.
They made multiple Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, I think it got a little watered down.
Revenge of the Nerds. Revenge of the Nerds.
But either way,
well, we're walking into their world, man. If we're playing trivia, they are Biff. They're Nelson Muntz.
Yeah, because I
and we're going to do a reverse kind of trivia. We're going to come up with some jock sayings, and they have to guess what they mean. Like if we say, "What does pinching a loaf mean?"
I was just gonna say, "Pinch a loaf." I can't believe that you.
Do you think Masters would know what pinch a loaf means?
Yes, of course. That's not some like saying that's only exclusive to jocks or people in locker rooms.
Do you think losers like that say to each other, "Hey, I gotta go pinch a loaf"? They don't.
I don't think anybody says that to anybody. All right, we're not going down this road, man. This is those sayings, I don't think, are exclusive to anybody.
No, they're not, but it's just funny.
I don't think anyone actually says them to people. No. I don't think that actually happens.
That's just locker room talk.
Yeah, you don't say that to Aaron?
No, like, shockingly.
And I just get through the door, and I'm like, "Hold on, I'll take care of the baby. I just got to go pinch a loaf."
No, I don't make a big announcement, generally, although she might contest that.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that I think about it, I probably do make a big announcement.
Big announcement. I'll be down in a few minutes.
Anything.
All right, we got to read LeBron James' Instagram post to himself from earlier this afternoon. I've been the biggest LeBron apologist. I've always supported
fan.
This guy. Yeah, I'm a super fan of LeBron. I think he's the
greatest.
Him and Jordan, the two greatest ever. The guy's been to 7 straight NBA finals, 8 overall. The guy's incredible. I don't expect him to be humbled. I don't expect the greatest players of all time. Brady's not humble. LeBron's not humble. Gretzky wouldn't be humble. You know, Babe Ruth back in the day wasn't humble. But I don't need the arrogance thrown in my face. I expect arrogance, but I need you to hide it as much as possible, not openly promote it. And the Instagram post that he put online earlier today, maybe we can share it on our own Instagram, at TSN1050 on Instagram, the station's Instagram account. He's going for 30,000 points tonight.
And by the way, this is amidst of an absolute gong show, sideshow in Cleveland right now involving Kevin Love.
And we'll get to that in just a moment.
That's something else.
So LeBron posted this earlier today. He's playing tonight. He'll get to 7 points unless he gets injured, which he never does. So he's going to hit 30,000 points tonight. This is what he writes to himself. But it's not to himself because it's on Instagram.
Yeah, it's to everyone else.
"Want to be one of the first to congratulate you on this accomplishment achievement tonight that you will reach. Only a handful has reached or seen it too. And while I know it's never been a goal of yours from the beginning, please try to take a moment for yourself on how you've done it. The house you're about to be a part of only has 6 seats in it as of now, but one more will be added, and you should be very proud and honored to be invited inside. There's so many people to thank who have helped you." This is like the broken down English is crazy in this post.
Yeah.
"There's so many people to thank who has helped this even become possible. So thank them all. And when you finally get your moment alone to yourself, smile, look up to the higher skies and say thank you. So with that said, congrats again, young king. One love, #, strive for greatness, #, the kid from Akron."
Yeah.
Like, was he blackout drunk and he posted this? That's like a drunk text.
Well, it's looking back. He's talking to himself, like his former self.
Who does that?
He's Jimmy from Seinfeld.
Don't you think that some of these guys, like, you think about the Paul Pierce garbage in Boston, where these guys have just become so big and high in themselves that it's out of control.
It's out of control.
Yeah, like,
you're posting. You didn't get to 30,000 points yet. Like, if afterwards you post a pic and you're like, "Wow, I'm honored. I can't believe I got here. I'm going to look back on this and I'm so..."
Here's a picture of me when this all started.
Yeah. You haven't got there yet. So prematurely, you're celebrating and patting yourself on the back for getting there, which is an exclusive
club. That Instagram post is just a bigger... It's a bigger idea of what's going on in social media today. If you're a good-looking person on... If you're a good-looking... Why do you need to keep continually posting pictures of yourself? For the compliments? You know you're good-looking. What the hell is wrong with you? I see it all the time. I want to say to people, do you really need to continue to do this? Everyone knows you're hot. Everyone knows... You're a good-looking dude.
I'd rather
or whatever it is. It's like, why do you need this crap?
I would rather have their face than their salad. Like, everyone's showing, here's what I'm eating. Here's what I'm, you know, here's the chicken I'm about to
cook. They just need these compliments. They're just so egotistical. They're narcissistic. It's disgusting.
This I can't even apologize for this. This is an outrageously absurd Instagram post to his former self. I love how it starts. I want to be one of the first one to congratulate you on this accomplishment. I know this wasn't a goal of yours. How did you know that, LeBron? Because you are LeBron, you idiot. It's crazy, this post.
But he's talking in third person.
He's talking to himself.
He's talking to himself through Instagram. Anyway, Howard Beck from the Bleacher Report on the absurdity of LeBron's post and what went down in Cleveland over the weekend with Kevin Love and his teammates calling him out.
And Milwaukee.
That and more in 2 minutes.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes Noodles and the O-Dog.
This is crazy what's going on in Cleveland.
It is.
The gong show. You might as well get rid of him now. You can't have him back in the locker room.
If the players believe, and clearly they do, if they're going to accuse him...
There's no turning back from that.
Yeah. He's soft. He bailed on
him. You know the term, I hate your face? That's where they're at. They hate his face.
All right, here's Howard Beck from the Bleacher Report. We were just talking about this report out of Cleveland where some players were calling out Kevin Love for pulling the shoot over the weekend. How do they possibly, or Kevin Love possibly, recover from that, Howard?
Well, it's not just about Kevin Love. My understanding of that meeting is that really, while there was some initial discussion at the outset about Kevin Love, it moved into all kinds of other places. I mean, basically, you know, everything was on the table, you know, coaching, front office, state of the roster, you know, Isaiah Thomas's play since he's returned, J.R. Smith's play. This was not about Kevin Love. He was a piece of it. But there, you know, there, frustrations there as a team, you know, are going in every direction as they should be, because, you know, there's really, I don't think anybody who you could point to in that locker room who's not, you know, at least partially responsible right now. I mean, there's a lot of underachieving going on, and the pieces aren't fitting very well together. And, you know, while they've experienced other, you know, rough spots, rough patches over the last few years, this one, I think, is off the charts in terms of how alarming it is, for a variety of reasons. Some of it's just the nature of these losses and how much they've lost games by and who they're losing to at times. But it's also, you know, you look around, I don't know that you can look at this roster and say, okay, well, this roster has the same ability to rally back the way that they did in previous years. It's a different group. And I'm not sure personally whether it's as capable of, you know, reversing things. So the frustration's all the way around.
Well, as goofy as the whole scenario is, how do they move forward from here? The big question is, what is LeBron going to do moving forward after this year? Do they make a trade? How do they try to fix this? Because they're a mess right now.
They are. You know, there are limited things that I think they can do in terms of trade. Excuse me. You know, if the rumors of a swap with Sacramento that would get them George Hill, if they can pull that off by just trading, you know, like an Iman Shumpert, Channing Frye combination, and it's just contracts for contracts, that's a decent deal for them. And then that's one where the Kings do it for cost savings reasons. What the Cavs have to offer is very limited, though. You know, you offer shorter contracts for a longer contract. That's one way of getting a deal done. You offer either that Nets pick, which is the golden ticket, or their own pick, the Cavs' own pick, which will be low 20s and not as valuable. But after that, you know, no teams out there are clamoring to acquire J.R. Smith. They're not clamoring to acquire Tristan Thompson. You might be able to get good value for Kevin Love, actually. He's their best trade piece in a lot of ways, at least in terms of players. But I don't know if they're going to go to that extreme. It'd be an interesting move, depending on what they can get back. But the real, you know, question becomes, you know, how big of a deal can you make if you're just trading, you know, some unwanted contracts back and forth? Is George Hill truly a serious upgrade for them? Is that enough? If that were the deal, and ultimately, are you willing to part with either your own pick or that Nets pick? They can't trade both under NBA rules, but they could trade one or the other. And you know that Nets pick, of course, the calculus on that has been, well, do you trade that if you think LeBron might be leaving or that he's probably leaving, because that was going to be your pick to start rebuilding? I don't know if that's really realistic anyway, because that pick may only be eighth or ninth in the draft, and I don't know if you're getting a foundational player there, but that's at least the idea, that you wanted to hold on to that in case LeBron goes.
With Howard Beck, senior NBA writer at the Bleacher Report, if these reports are true that Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio, how would you handicap the chances he actually does get out?
I don't think that's even worth addressing, because I don't think there's a credible report that he wants out.
Jalen Rose is incredible.
Has Jalen Rose cited how he knows this?
I have no idea. I saw him on First Take today saying he's heard that Kawhi Leonard wants out, and then Stephen A. Smith said he heard the same thing.
My understanding is that Stephen A. Smith then went on to cite Mike Monroe, who hasn't been covering the San Antonio Spurs for like 2 years since he retired. So, I don't think there's any there. I think ESPN was filling space.
Do you think they do that too often? I get that sense, Howard.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I'm not going to go beyond that. I've probably already said too much, frankly. Okay. But listen, on this story, the idea that there's tension there, yes. I mean, are there some tensions between Kawhi and management about his rehab and about his general, just the general state of things? Yeah, there's substance to that. Jumping from that to he wants out is a huge, huge leap that I don't think anybody has a basis for right now.
With Howard Beck, senior NBA writer at the Bleacher Report. Yesterday was a big news day in the NBA. Jason Kidd fired in Milwaukee. They're around a 500 team. They're hanging on to a playoff spot right now. They've had some bad injury problems lately. But the bigger part of this story was that somehow it got out that
That's
he had been
crazy
fired.
How that got out, man.
Without him actually knowing, right. And it got to the point where Giannis actually called him and said, hey, do you want me to try to hook you up with your job? Do you want me to fight for you here? And I guess Kidd said, well, I figured this was coming, and Kidd's been down this road before. But what do you make of the way this all unraveled in Milwaukee?
Milwaukee has been very strange in its operations for the last year or so. I mean, when Jason, for a couple of years, actually, ever since Jason Kidd got there, I mean, Jason Kidd went there having tried to pull a power play in Brooklyn, wanting more control there. And when that didn't happen, he, you know, managed to get the Bucks job, which was still occupied at the time by Larry Drew. He went in there with promises of some front office authority, but that ended up getting squelched in the deal with the Nets to release him from his contract. They had a perfectly capable GM, John Hammond, but when Kidd arrived, it started the clock ticking on him. John Hammond was supposed to eventually be replaced when he was ready to move on by Justin Zanuck, who was the assistant GM. And then last year, even though they had this whole succession plan, they did not hire Justin Zanuck after John Hammond left for Orlando. So this is like everything there has been weird and screwy and hard to follow since for the last few years. Kidd being fired, however, should not be surprising to anybody. This team has, to a degree, underachieved. I'm not sure they've underachieved by a lot for a young team that's had some serious changes and still no Jabari Parker yet this season. But they've got high expectations because they've got a top-five player in Giannis. And they also have the concern of, if we're not making steady progress, if it feels like we're just not kind of drifting, well, that's not a good sign to Giannis. So while Giannis may have been saying, I'll go to bat to keep Jason Kidd, the organization's bigger concern is, yeah, but if Jason Kidd, as your coach, is not leading us in the right direction, if we're not making the progress we need to make, then you, Giannis, are going to be clamoring for, you know, possibly a trade in a couple of years. Like, that's, like, I'm not saying Giannis absolutely will do that. I don't know what his intentions are, but that's how it goes in today's NBA. When you're a young superstar, especially if you're a superstar in a smaller market, at a certain point, you start looking around going, where are we going? Are we making progress? I mean, that's why the Pelicans had to make the desperation play for DeMarcus Cousins because Anthony Davis eventually is going to look around and say, what are we doing? Get me out of here. And that still might happen. So the Bucks had to take the long view, and it probably, you know, justifiably felt like they were flatlining a bit.
How about that stat line by DeMarcus Cousins last night? 44 points, 24 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 steals.
Boogie.
That is gross. I mean, he's got to be creeping up the MVP race, isn't he?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Or would you say Anthony Davis would be ahead of him, even on his own team?
All the advanced metrics and the on-off stats show that Anthony Davis is far more critical to their success, and even to that extent, if those two guys are both All-Stars, and they are, and they both got named All-Star starters, which to me I think is a little over the top, they're a 500 team. They've been hovering around 500 all season. If you've got two guys who are both All-Stars, who are two of the top 12 guys in their conference, you shouldn't be a 500 team. That tells you something. And I know that the rest of that roster is not great, but still, if you have two guys who are that good, that you've got to be better than a 500 team. There are flaws there. DeMarcus Cousins is terrible defensively. He's slow getting it back up the court all the time, partially because sometimes he's just lazy, sometimes he's too busy arguing with the officials. The stats never tell the full story with DeMarcus Cousins.
Thank you, Howard. Appreciate the time.
You got it, guys.
Here's Howard Beck from the Bleacher Report, senior NBA writer.
He gave you a few shutdowns.
He gave you a hard no.
Yeah, he gave me a hard no on that one, and he hates Jalen Rose and Stephen A. Smith at ESPN.
You don't think they're credible? Wow, where are you getting that from? And then you were like, what about Boogie Cousins, MVP? No.
Listen, I'm not the only, one to suggest.
Listen to how dumb you sounded. Go ahead.
How about that stat line by DeMarcus Cousins last night? 44 points, 24 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 steals.
Boogie.
That is gross. I mean, he's got to be creeping up the MVP race, isn't he?
No.
You don't think so? Just disgust. As if that's the craziest thing to suggest.
What's wrong with...
I didn't say he was going to win the MVP. No, I'm like, he could be creeping up the list.
You got to throw his name into the mix. Like,
thanks, Howard.
He flat out just...
We're never having Howard on.
No, Howard can take a lap. He's never coming back.
That was hilarious. He was chippy. I think it's because the... The ESPN thing.
Well, that's a huge story right now that Kawhi Leonard won out. Like Jalen Rose went. Like, that's Jalen Rose.
I know.
Like, he's. I'm not saying Howard Beck isn't connected, but I would think Jalen Rose probably has some connections throughout the NBA.
Jalen Rose is the guy that I went to the strip club with, right?
Yes, I think in Denver, wasn't it?
Yeah, in Denver when we got snowed in.
Yeah.
That guy's credible. I'm telling you.
He's a credible NBA source.
Night, I'll tell you, he was the man.
Anyway, I want him to be credible because Kawhi Leonard, if he gets on the market, that would be. A wild scene. He's a great, great player.
Would the Raptors be in the mix?
Probably not.
Well.
But it's nice to at least throw out that idea, have that conversation. All right, Bobby Webster, Raps GM, will join us around 6:05. Bob McKenzie in studio in the 6 p.m. hour, and Ray Ferraro coming up in about 20 minutes.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
I said to the guy in the grocery store, I'm like, what's your best apple?
It was the Honeycrisp? Isn't there like a Macintosh and stuff like that? Like there's,
go with the Honeycrisp.
The worst is the yellow ones. Those are
like borderline pears.
And they get soft and gross. Like those.
The
are,
Honeycrisp. Oh,
I'm a red apple guy. I will
I'm
eat red apples.
Green apple guy.
Interesting
and I have
take.
No problem with it.
So you went up and asked who? Like
guy,
a grocer.
He was just sorting out the apples. I'm like, what's your best apple?
And he had a take on what the best apple
was. He goes, try the Honeycrisp.
So you would trust his take.
Yes, he was the apple guy.
Well, I think he was just the grocer that was unloading the apples.
He said to me, you like crispy? I said, yep. And he goes, try the Honeycrisp. And he goes, I have a fresh bat right here.
Wow. What a lifesaver.
He opened the lid. I put 10 in a bag. Off I went.
John just sent in a great question. Poll time. What was more rude? Howard Beck's no to Hayes or the bad driver saying, you can go eat now?
Probably the bad driver. Like, you actually helped him. Howard was just coming on the show, or her.
Sorry. I don't know. It's a pretty good
Howard
poll.
Beck was a little bit offside.
I don't
want to
have Howard on anymore.
He's okay.
He was good.
He's a good interview. He gives you his takes, and sometimes it can be a little bit relentless.
Yeah, that's 2 days in a row somebody's gone after you.
Yeah. I took it on the chin
and
yesterday.
I thought you had a really strong first
Your
hour.
Your questions
there.
Are
Thank
going
you.
downhill.
Well, Larry King.
That's their problem. Exactly. Not mine.
From your Larry show. King.
It's the beauty
Barry
of having
King.
Your own show.
Barry King.
Barry King.
Ray Ferraro will join us in the next hour. We'll get back into what's going on throughout the NBA. Some news out of the NFL as well. We'll tell you about it. And Leafs coming off a loss last night. Colorado, that's 10 in a row. They're in Montreal tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.